done. Mini episode.
Oh, yeah. Are we recording?
Oh yeah, always, nice. Always.
I regret nothing.
So, happy Thanksgiving.
And to you.
Oh, thanks. Got any big plans?
My plan is to eat myself silly.
Really?
Is that that's what we do, right?
Well, I was just going to have some turkey.
That's it?
Well, and stuffing.
That's it?
Well, okay. I mean, I wouldn't describe it as eating myself silly.
I mean, how many things are going to be on your plate?
A lot.
More than an average dinner.
That's true.
Okay.
That is part of the, yeah, it's not like, gosh, Thanksgiving is, there's a lot of pressure because it's not like you can just make a turkey and stuffing. Like, you've got to have everything that's traditional in your family Thanksgiving to have.
Yeah.
Like the Jell-O salad.
Oh, are you from Utah?
No, it's not traditional in my family.
Oh, okay.
But I have been to, I mean, mad respect to people who make Jell-O salads. I recall one Thanksgiving where there were two Jell-O salads on the Thanksgiving dinner table, and I had them both. They were both good.
For me, it's green bean casserole.
Oh, see, I want that to become a new family tradition of mine.
It should. Yeah. That and pumpkin pie.
Gotta have pumpkin pie. I made a chocolate pumpkin pie one year.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I think people are doing that now, but like I did it before. It was cool.
Well, mine actually is heavily spiced, so actually I was doing pumpkin spice before it was cool.
I doubt that.
Haters gonna hate.
So the reason we're talking about Thanksgiving is, of course, Thanksgiving is a feast of the Episcopal Church.
It is. It's a major feast.
And we had an episode devoted to Independence Day.
Right. Which is, I think, much, well, I was going to say much more controversial, but I think Thanksgiving as a feast and Thanksgiving in general may be more controversial in the Episcopal Church.
I don't know. I mean, because so here's what I think about, is I think about the word Thanksgiving and the word Eucharist.
Exactly.
Because the word Eucharist is Greek for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of the church, this seems to be a very natural fit.
Yeah. The sermon basically writes itself, because right after you preach, you're going to celebrate the great Thanksgiving.
Right. I'm playing the organ and directing the choir for a Thanksgiving service again this year.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, it is one of my favorite services of the year.
Yeah.
Because everybody, when they come, both the choir and the congregation, they're already in the holiday mood.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's the holidays. People are starting to get stressed out, but there's also that kind of just fun, like, you know, the idea that you don't have to go into work today.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into work tomorrow.
I think the way that it always strikes me, and I don't know if this is an accurate way of describing it, but Thanksgiving and to a slightly lesser extent, maybe Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about that is everybody shows up and their guard is already down.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
And really, that's what we hope Christian community is.
Yeah.
At its best anyway.
Yeah.
So there really is something, I think, authentically Christian about a Thanksgiving morning Eucharist.
Maybe that's what I like about it, is it feels like church should feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It also, the interesting thing about Thanksgiving as a major feast is it's one of the few feast days of the church that we genuinely and truly celebrate as an actual feast.
On the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, of the Thanksgiving services that I've done, it's been Thanksgiving morning.
Uh-huh.
And I've even attended one or two when I'm not playing. I've attended one or two on Thanksgiving morning. But I would hazard a guess that there are places who want to do it,
mm-hmm.
and are afraid to do it on the day.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they would back it up to the night before, which is okay.
Yeah.
You're celebrating the eve of a feast.
Right.
But I bet there are also places that do it, you know, Sunday afternoon, the week before Thanksgiving.
You think?
I've done it.
Oh, I have never seen that.
In terms of like an ecumenical, and maybe that's why Mm-hmm. It was sort of an ecumenical, more citywide kind of service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More moving parts there, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just, I like the fact that even though the separations are divided, even though you have church in the morning and then you go home and have the meal, mm-hmm. it's still one of those festive occasions that we genuinely mark by getting together and feasting.
Yeah, it's a genuine feast of the church.
We do that to a lesser extent on Christmas and then really never again.
Hmm. Well, Easter a little bit.
I mean, a little. You might have an Easter brunch or an Easter dinner, but it's not. I don't think it's the same.
All right. So I think we should remind people that because this is a major feast in the church, there's a collect in the Book of Common Prayer.
There sure is, and it goes like this: Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season, and for the labors of those who harvest them. Make us, we pray, faithful stewards of your great bounty, for the provision of our necessities and the relief of all who are in need, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we'll see you next time.
Feast it up. Hi, it's us again.
I'm David.
I'm Ian. And we wanted to let you know about our new Patreon page.
We know that you love all things right and musical.
I mean, we assume you do. Why else would you be listening for this long?
Right. So we want to tell you that it costs us a little bit of money to run this podcast.
Not very much so.
Just a little bit. To pay for things like the web hosting.
And the domain name.
So how much exactly does it cost?
We actually don't know. But at the rate we're growing, around $6 a month.
Cool. So why should I give a dollar or two a month to the podcast through Patreon?
Well, you'll feel good contributing towards something you're listening to, and Patreon will allow us to connect more with you, our devoted or at least ambivalent listeners.
That's right. I love giving to my public radio station, and I hope that people will have the same feeling if they really enjoy listening to this podcast. And if you become a patron of All Things Right and Musical on Patreon, you'll have access to information about new episodes before they air.
We send exclusive updates just to our patrons, including sneak previews of upcoming episodes.
That's right. You can see upcoming episode artwork. And depending on how much you give, you might even be able to hear sneak previews of new episodes. And you can even join us for the occasional live chat.
Wow. So what happens if we raise more than $6 a month through Patreon?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? I'm thinking we should fly first class to New York and try to interview Michael Curry.
To the moon.
He's
not there, is he?
Well, he's only to celebrate Eucharistic Prayer C.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah, I think, no, seriously, we could find some big names to interview.
Yeah.
And go to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if we really hit the jackpot here, I mean, if the thousands and thousands of people who listen to all the All Things Right and Musical podcast each gave $2 or $3 a month,
mm-hmm.
We could go on a field trip to see liturgies that people wanted us to experience and podcast about.
Absolutely. And if you go buck wild, we'll even listen to your suggestions.
That's right. Do pay a visit to our new Patreon page. There's a link in this and every upcoming episode that will help you find it. Thank you.